So if you go ahead and for Numbers chapter 13, we'll start reading at verse 17. And it says, "And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, Get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be of good courage, and bring the fruit of the land." And we'll stop right there. Moses was charging a certain group of people to go out and look into a land that God had promised to them. And oftentimes we see in our own lives the given goal and where we're going in God, and the Lord begins to challenge us to go forth and go out. Tonight my simple thought is this: we are something different than what the world would have you to partake of, to consume of, to live in. As children of God, we are something separate from that. We walk by a different standard than what the world would walk in. The level of anger and hostility that's in the world today is at an all-time high. You can't hardly go anywhere without somebody giving you a hard time about something. If we're not too careful as Christians, we'll find ourselves in that angry state because we're just burnt out on life. We're troubled about life. And I bring this thought out in like this: that when God saved us, He brought us from this world to be a changed child of God. Tonight I'm changed. I'm blessed. I'm delivered. God moved in my life, and now I can praise Him for the goodness. I look back on where I was, and I was in such trouble. But now that God has moved and separated me from all the things that had afflicted me, my life is now different. I'm now something that when they see me, they do not see the man that I once was, but they see the life that now dwells therein. I'm proud to be separate from that which used to afflict me. I'm glad to know that it has no power or dominion in my life. Drugs would have once fulfilled me for the rest of all my days, but as God began to move, He changed me and saved me. And now I'm no longer the same. And as He made this charge for them to go out to the land, a group of them went, began to go out. And out of these 12 that began to go, there was a small section of them that saw something different than what the group or the group consensus or popular opinion was. We'll begin to read it in just a moment. The popular opinion was that this land we cannot attain. This land is beyond our reach. The people that dwell in this land are stronger than us. We're not capable of going after the land that You have given us, God. And I think about the promise of God today. And I think about how He's moving in all of our lives. And there is a promise for each one of you in this place. And there is a place in God where there is nothing that will bother you. Nothing that will pull you down. And you'll get to such a place where you enter into the rest of God that you'll begin to realize His promise. And you consider the words of Caleb and what he began to speak up against that which was being spoken negatively. And the words that he said, "Let us go and possess this land." He was trying to raise a renewed confidence in the people that had received the promise. Tonight we have the promise of what? Eternal life for those that will believe. And beyond eternal life, you have the promise while you live today of renewed joy, You have the promise today of renewed love in your life, renewed love in your home, renewed love for those that you want to see delivered. Tonight I stand like Caleb did, and the popular opinion would tell me to hush, or it would tell me to quit preaching the goodness of God. But I'm here to remind you that the land that you're going after, it is something that you can attain. It's something you can get a hold of. Joy is not too far from you that you cannot praise the Lord and overcome that. The world would have me to be silent. And all of the sin of the world that rages today would have us say that we're not strong enough to conquer sin. We're not strong enough sometimes in ourselves when we do not realize God's power that lives in here. Focus with me tonight. Preach with me tonight. Remind yourself that God brought you out. He moved for you. He has changed you. You are separate from what you were. We're not as though we was. I celebrate tonight that I'm living and not perishing. Let us go, church, and possess our lands. Let us not dwell in the wilderness of unbelief. Let us not doubt within ourselves that we're not able to do what we need to do. But let God bless you tonight with a renewed sense of strength, a renewed sense of self. Let's read this part tonight. It starts in verse 26. And it says, "And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel and to the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. They told them, 'We came to the land whither thou sentest, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan.' And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it.' But the men that went up with him said, 'We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we.' And they brought up an evil report to the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, 'The land through which we have gone to search it is a land eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature.'" I challenge you tonight, in your personal life, in your spiritual life, in all that God is moving for you, to be confident in the promise of God, to look on where that you want to go. Peace is not so far away that we cannot find it. And though people may discourage you from enjoying your walk in God, may discourage you from being able to enjoy what you have, I encourage you to dance. I encourage you to shout. I encourage you to enjoy your life. The anointing brings that confidence in you. We'll never tackle life and succeed on our own. We'll never do it. We'll never accomplish anything we're setting forth to do. I want to get my bills paid. I want to bless my family. I want to be able to give and to do. I want to be a renewed person. I want to go out and do and meet the goals that I'm going for. We've got to realize that we can possess the things that God wants for us if we believe it in our heart. And that's the same power and the same realization that you get when you consider salvation. It's for all that would believe unto them. That would believe, it is for you. Salvation is for you. A relationship with Christ is for you. I cannot explain how much better my life is now than what it used to be. I had such dread to get up in the morning, such dread to live, such a bad outlook on life, so negative about everything going on around me. I could not see within myself the ability to live. I didn't have a purpose. I didn't see the fulfillment of the joy of the Lord. I did not know the way, or in other words, I was lost, wandering in life. We stereotype lost as to be some faraway sinner that's too far gone to be redeemed. But I am once was lost. But now I'm found. And I'm changed. And I live as He lives in me. Because that He lives in me. Tomorrow will not be as hard as it once was. I won't get up with dread any longer. But I'll get up. Say, get up. Come on now. I'll get up with a new sense of purpose. I'll get up with a new sense of life. And the church today needs to realize and get the renewed sense of life by the power of God. We may want to find ourselves in a place where we're too far gone to worship, but God's saying, come on in. Come on in and worship me. We might find ourselves without purpose, and it might have been so much more fun to go out somewhere else and have a good time, but it will not have fulfilled you the same way that the presence of God will. It'll get up with you in the morning. I feel like preaching now. It'll get up with you in the morning. It'll be there as your comforter. When tears would flow from your face, God is right there with you. When all would say to you, there's no way that you're going to get it done, God will give you the knowledge and the wisdom to do it. There's no hope, Jared. Why do you keep on singing? I sing because He lives. I'm in joy because He lives. Devil, get behind us tonight. Hallelujah. We live as He lives in us. We have not perished. And I don't look upon people that are already dead. There is hope for life for you. There's hope for your life tonight. Get your mind on the Lord. Trust in Him for what you're dealing with. And you'll be able to say, there's a way out. You'll be able to say, there's a way for me. Say it with me tonight. There is a way. There is a way. As you believe and trust in Jesus Christ, the Word of God says it like this. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way that will lead you. I am the truth that will separate you from sin. And I am the life that will renew you every day. My ministry is not about how many that would appreciate me. My ministry is about how you can begin to live in God. People can get mad at me if they want. But I cannot help when I feel God's presence. It causes you to be confident. And even those around you, you may be in a service in your future, or you may be around family members that are very low and in an unbelieving state that just don't see the way. They don't see the way out. But just look at them and get a hold of them and say, let's pray. Let's go on. Let's not suffer here any longer. There's so many places that's dried up now. Because they forgot the promise of God. And you read about the history of the children of Israel and how that they stayed in that wilderness. And it's my every belief that unbelief was the very thing that kept them there. Hallelujah. They even got to see the land and they knew of its substance. But the lack of confidence and belief in their heart was able to vary. It was hindering them from even having any joy. They couldn't even believe in themselves to take it. God has already gave us the promise of eternal life. He's given us the promise of life and it more abundantly. So why would we ever think that we cannot live and live in joy? Do not be deceived by all those other forms of evil reports. There's evil reports going all across this land today, encouraging us just to live a certain way, encouraging us just to toss religion to the side, take God out of prayer. But that is how the church is starting to trend and move towards. We're starting to become a place that's not realizing the promises of God, but enjoy the motions of religion. We enjoy the emotional experience to see somebody move to the Spirit of God, but we don't want any part of it because we don't want any change in our life. But God does not want us to live in a place where we live in darkness. He does not want us to dwell in our mind where we feel like that there is no hope, but He wants us to live by His Spirit. He wants you to get with brothers and sisters that believe, that will love one another, and that will prefer each other over oneself. You'll raise up a church when you begin to have that confidence. There may be 2 out of 500 that begin to believe, but where 2 or 3 would agree, church, He'll be in the midst of your worship. He'll be in the midst of your ministry. He'll be in the midst of even 13th Street tonight. There is no place that I could go that would outdo the almighty presence of God. There is no substance that I could partake in that would ever give me the joy that God has given me. So I encourage you, look inside your heart tonight and say, am I living according to the promise of God? Do I know that there is eternal life for me? Is there a heavenly home in my destination? Is there joy in my morning? Is there purpose for my life? Listen, when you live for God, there is purpose. You don't wonder about life not knowing what you're supposed to do. There's purpose. So many people are going out by suicide because the devil has stole their purpose to live. But realize your purpose. Know who you are. Be confident in the promises of God. If He brought you through it then, and He's moving for you now, He's certainly going to take care of you ahead in all of your days. You may not have what you think that you need to get through life. You may not have the finances divvied out in such a manner that you would be satisfied. But listen, God is your provider. God is your source of strength. He is the one that will be there when everybody else will fail you. Oh, churches will let you down. The form of religion will let you down. But God will never fail you. God will never leave you behind. We're different. We're set aside because we choose to live in faith. People are hopeless. Gather around and just be in continual sorrow. But there's hope for you. Oh, there's hope for you. Say that. You need to speak that to yourself sometimes. There's hope. Come on, somebody needs that. I feel like somebody needs this. There's hope. I don't know about my children, Jared. I don't know if they're ever going to get their life together. Be faithful over the promises of God and see Him move as you call and what? Believe. Religion will not carry you through life. Praise and worship will not carry you through life. It's wonderful to feel that presence when you sing. It's wonderful to feel that when you come to church. But it's in what you believe when it's just you and God. You could sell a pretty picture to me to know that all is well with you. And you could smile at me right now if you want to. But it's in the moments when you would be caught unexpectedly that God is wanting to see that belief shine. When you truly feel without purpose, hear this tonight. When you feel without a reason to go on is when God wants to see you be confident to say, I see a land that I can possess. I see a place that I'm going to get to. I see a promise that I'm going to get a hold of. My family would persecute me. So what? Get a hold of the promise. I see a land whose builder and maker. That land they looked up was beautiful on this earth. But tonight, if you believe in Him and hang on in life, there is a land far beyond our sorrows. All the toils of life are going to end one day. And we stand before the throne room of judgment as you believed and endured in life through what you have in Christ. You're going to make it. Do you believe tonight that you're going to make it? I'm not going to be satisfied till I feel like that you're making a commitment and confidence to say that I am going to make it. Somebody say that needs it tonight. I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. Come on, be confident in your word. Be a Caleb tonight. Say, I'm going to make it. I'm going to come through. I'm going to come through. Oh, you've got to believe it. I can believe for you all day, but it only comes alive when you say, I will be healed. I will be of sound mind. I will enjoy my life. I will come to church and have me a good time. They may reject you. They may say, don't dance, brother. They may say, don't worship. But go ahead and say, there is a land that I'm going to get a hold of. Oh, nothing could steal that joy from me. Nothing could take the joy of the Lord. Oh, get a hold of it tonight. There is a land. Oh, hallelujah. Mighty men. I can imagine in that place that had on great armor. They're probably buff, I'm sure. But still didn't have the belief in their heart. You can be well equipped to put the devil on the run in your life, but without belief and faith together, we will not use the power of God. I want to read another scripture and I'll close. John chapter 6, verse 32, if you want to go there. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then they said unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Then Jesus said this, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye have also seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Never going to be tossed again. Never going to be rode off anymore. The relationship that you have with God, nobody can take from you. And that joy that you have in your heart, nobody can get it. Nobody. Government will try to go and garnish wages of people, and they'll try to give an appropriate punishment for such things that you've made mistakes in. But when you believe, he throws your sin in the sea of forgetfulness. And as you trust God, you'll begin to have new life. You are not an outcast, but you're in the fold of God.